Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
The Lord willing, I will bring a series of messages on the subject, Socialism is Anti-Christian. Acts chapter number 4, verses 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Some might say that in this passage we have a biblical basis for socialism. Not so. Study the context. The context does not teach that the church should be practicing socialism. Another passage that you might hear a socialistic politician quote, or at least make reference to, is Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36, which says, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Study the context of that passage and see that it does not teach that believers should practice socialism. Jesus Christ did not teach his followers to practice socialism. The early church did not exemplify the practice of socialism, and the Bible as a whole does not teach that we should be socialistic. In fact, socialism is anti-Christian. During the tribulation period, there shall be an anti-Christ on earth. The anti-Christ shall be against Christ, but shall be presented as a substitute for Christ. Consider, against Christ, but presented as a substitute for Christ. There shall not only be an Antichrist during that period, but there shall also be an anti-bride, which shall be the great whore of Revelation 17, that wicked one-world religion. There shall be an anti-kingdom. The kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, shall begin after the tribulation period, but there shall be an anti-kingdom during the tribulation period. It shall be that wicked one-world kingdom. There shall be an anti-spirit at work, as the devil himself and his devils are at work upon the earth. In light of all of this, consider that there shall be a wicked government upon the earth that shall cooperate with that wicked one-world religion, and they shall allow commerce, but they shall also have strict control of it. Notice those two words, commerce and control. Controlled commerce. Do you realize that some people shall become rich during the rule of that one world government, and even because of that one world government? Revelation chapter number 18 speaks of Babylon. Babylon, that anti-capital of the wicked one world government, the capital of the millennial kingdom, Christ's kingdom, shall be Jerusalem, but Babylon shall be, as it might be said, the anti-capital. Revelation chapter number 18, verse number 3, tells of Babylon, the earthly headquarters for evil activity. Revelation 18, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. When God shall destroy Babylon, that evil city, many shall weep and wail." Revelation chapter number 18, verse 15, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." Revelation chapter 18, verse 17, "For in one hour so great riches is come to naught." Revelation 18, verse 19, And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. I believe that many shall get rich and others shall fare well financially under this system of controlled commerce, under this wicked government, and because of this wicked city. But not all shall prosper financially under that government. Revelation chapter number 13, verses 16 and 17. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So while some shall wax rich under that system, others shall be prohibited to buy or sell because they have refused to take the name, number, or mark of the beast. Because of this, there might be many that shall be hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, and in prison, as the Bible speaks of in Matthew 25. Many that might have in other times been willing to help a poor and suffering person might in that day be afraid to help one that has refused to take the name, the number, or the mark of the beast. This world is moving toward the ecumenicalism and globalism that shall be in the tribulation period, and I believe that the world is being prepared to accept a form of socialism that shall be in the tribulation period and a form of government under which controlled commerce is practiced. Socialism has been around in America for a long time, but at least early in the 20th century, there was quite a contrast between capitalistic America and communistic Russia. Under the heavy fist and hard heel of communism, Russian and Chinese people suffered greatly. Finally, the Soviet Union collapsed. Perhaps some learned the lesson that it was counterproductive to a society to crush the capitalistic spirit of the people completely. When Hong Kong came under the control of the communist Chinese, they did not kill the goose that would lay them the golden egg. They allowed capitalism to continue there, at least to some extent. While communist experiments have failed and formerly communistic nations have moved to a more socialistic approach of governing, America has moved from capitalism to socialism. So the middle ground between hardline communism and pure capitalism is socialism. And I believe that a form of socialism shall be in place under the Antichrist. Let's consider what socialism is and why it is anti-Christian. Without a definition of socialism, how can one decide whether to defend it or to condemn it? Sometimes a relatively conservative person might say that he is against socialism and opposes some forms of socialism, while at the same time, he supports other kinds of socialism. For many that are relatively conservative, it might be much more accurate and honest for them to say, I am against some kinds of socialism, rather than to flatly state that they are against socialism. So, what is socialism? I've already used the words controlled commerce. Mr. Frederick Bastiat stated that socialism is legal plunder. Socialism is legalized thievery. But let us consider an even more precise definition. Socialism is when a government takes from a society in order to redistribute to that society for the supposed good of that society. Once again, socialism is when a government takes from a society in order to redistribute to that society for the supposed good of that society. Please understand that this taking from a society to redistribute to that society is not limited to the taking of money. Socialistic governments take liberties and land and labor from people of a society to redistribute it to others for the supposed good of the society. I realize that someone might say that there are exceptions. It is true that a government with the consent of the governed can take from those that are under that government in order to secure or protect the God-given rights of those it governs. Good policemen, good soldiers, good legislators, and good judges can be a great blessing to a society. They can help make it possible for us to lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. They can help a society to operate decently and in order. But when government oversteps its boundaries and tramples on the God-given rights of a people, it can be very detrimental to the society. And even if they say it is for the good of the society, it can be a dangerous thing. Early on in the message, I read Acts 4, 34 and 35, which says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the price of those things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Did the early church practice socialism? Is this an example that we should follow? First of all, these were the actions of a church and its members, not a government and its citizens. The government is not to try to fulfill the responsibilities that God has given a church. Not only was this a church, it was a great church. Verse number 31 speaks of an assembly that had great purity. I know that they had great purity because the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and that does not happen without purity. They also had great boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. They had great unity. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 32, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul." They had great power, verse number 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." They had great grace, verse 33 also states, "And great grace was upon them all." And they were great givers. Verse number 32 states, "Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." Those people sold houses and lands and brought prices of them to the apostles, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This was not the work of government. These were the actions of a church. Number two, the people gave of their own free will and not because they were made to through taxation. Number three, even though this was being handled by a church, they still had problems. Number four, this was a very unusual situation. There was a tremendous persecution coming, Acts chapter number 8, and after that would come the sacking of Jerusalem by the Romans. The Lord willing, I'll continue on the subject, socialism is anti-Christian, in the next program.
Why not now? Why not now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.